Hello, listeners. Welcome to a bonus episode of Tide Talk. During our interview with Dr. Bletcher, we ran over time and had to cut the final question that pertained to his academic experience. Instead of trashing it, we thought it best to release it as a bonus episode alongside the full interview. That is enough from me. We hope you enjoy.
Moving on to our sixth and final question. This one's about you. After digging through your CV, I found a lot that was cool. Specifically, much of your research had to do with rural China, rural Chinese politics, rural Chinese, a lot. And I want to ask what got you into that. What was that fascination for you?
I haven't done rural China in a long time. My career has gone through, there have been three foci for my research. I started studying China. I took my first class in Chinese politics at Cornell University with the great John Wilson Lewis, and I got a C+. And I think I was too busy protesting the Vietnam War. I took the class because I was protesting the Vietnam War, and there was a lot of anti-war student politics at Cornell. I remember getting interested in China. I mean, the issue was the Vietnam War, and I also took courses with the great George McTernan Cahan, who was the dean of Southeast Asia scholars in the U.S. Cornell was the leading center of Southeast Asia studies in the U.S. So we took courses with him on Vietnam, but then I ended up on China. Partly because of, for a really bizarre reason, as I took my intro course, John Lewis's intro course on China, I learned, this was in 1967, the height of the Cultural Revolution, and I learned that in China, the top guy, Chairman Mao, was encouraging students to rise up against the government in the Cultural Revolution. Meanwhile, we were here protesting against our government and Lyndon Johnson, and I thought, wow, maybe I want to live in a country where the top guy actually encourages us to protest instead of, so we wouldn't have to go out and shout, hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? And like that. So I got this view that China would be a really cool place politically to live and to be a student activist. Of course, over the years, we learned that the Cultural Revolution was a lot more complicated than we thought, and a lot not so not only providing free rein for student protesters like me. But at the time, it was, wow, I want to learn more about that country. So I got interested in China. And then I went to graduate school at University of Chicago. And because of the politics of the time, I wasn't much interested in elite politics, Pekingology, that sort of thing. I got interested in politics of ordinary Chinese people, and that's mostly what I've done my whole career. And I thought, I can't actually remember why I decided that to start with farmers, because I never had a garden and I don't do farming, but it seemed to me that, anyway, just something, it was a group of young graduate students who were working on what was going on in the Chinese countryside. Countryside was overwhelmingly, China was overwhelmingly rural. So I went into doing that, and I did that for my dissertation on politics within the most basic levels of Chinese collective farms, how collective farms decided how to distribute their income and organize their labor and make investments and all these kind of things. And I studied that for about 20 some odd years. And then I had run into some heavy weather already, which was that in 1983, the structural reform government in China, Deng Xiaoping, had abolished the communes. And so this thing I was studying was no longer there. And it was really, it doesn't make it something that political scientists shouldn't be interested in, but it gave it a little different character. Anyway, I was, by the mid-90s, I had begun teaching courses on Marxian theory here at Oberlin, and beginning to take that seriously. And I call it Marxian theory, not Marxist theory, because for me, my interest in Marx was as a social scientist, not as a party member, not as a Marxist, but as somebody who thought that Marx's ideas could really help me understand what I needed to understand. But as I was doing that more and more, I started to think about Chinese workers, naturally enough. I began to teach a little bit around comparative courses in labor politics, and I taught books by the great sociologist of labor, Michael Bourovoy, who teaches at Berkeley. And I just got very excited about the kind of work he was doing. And he did his dissertation at the same time I did in Chicago, although he was in sociology and I was in political science. But he did it by actually participant observation. He got a job in a Chicago machine shop and wrote a book about politics on the shop floor of machine shops. And then he went on to take jobs, do the same kind of work in, I think it was Hungary, and then again in Zambia, if I recall. And I just found that work so fascinating, you know, because the grassroots bit, I was always very taken with a kind of ethnographic approach. So I began studying workers, and I didn't think I had anything new to say about farmers anymore. There was no collective politics anymore. So I began studying workers. I made my first trip to China in 95, my first trip to study workers and do this project, launch this project in 95. And I've been doing it ever since, and my book is about to come out. Along the way, I published a bunch of articles. But I'm still very interested in kind of what goes on factory shop floors and the lives of ordinary workers. And I've done a third project that started in 78 and continued up until, I don't know, five or 10 years ago on county level government in China. Now, if I taught a course at Oberlin on state and local government, county government in Ohio, minus four students would sign up for it, right? But we got into that project with several colleagues who are about my age in the field, because who were interested in, there had been a proliferation of work on literally grassroots politics, mostly in the countryside. So we had developed a pretty good idea of what was going on in villages. And at the other end, there were people, a lot of people working on pekingology at the very top, and that sort of thing. But nobody knew anything about how these levels connected. And I remember one question I got about the work I was doing on villages from a colleague who said, well, you know, it's all very interesting what you're writing about how within collectives, farmers are unafraid to go give the brigade secretary a good what for and express themselves, and they don't take no for an answer if they don't want to. And my argument was there was a kind of vibrant grassroots politics going on, and that commune, basic units in communes were governed in a sort of messy, noisy, consensual way. That was the argument of my dissertation and a lot of articles that came out of it. And at one presentation I did, a colleague said to me, well, that's very well and good, and I'm sure it's actually true. But isn't that just dormitory democracy? Isn't that just like, you know, student government? You know, this is not real power. And I had one response, which is, well, if you're a farmer, it is real power because it affects the issues of your daily life. And two, you might be right. We got this idea, we got an opportunity to go to China to do field research, as got an invitation, one of us got an invitation from an outfit called the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association, which was a part of the foreign ministry. It wasn't a people's organization, of course, to come to China and do field research out in the countryside on anything we wanted. And the idea of going and doing another grassroots, going sitting in a village for a few weeks and looking around appealed. But I persuaded my colleagues, well, why don't we look at the levels of government that connect the bottom and the top, about which no one knew anything. And that's what we did. And we published a book in 1997, finally, on politics in one county on the North China Plain. We asked them to choose for us a pretty ordinary place, not a very poor place, not a very rich place. And we did that. And that's been a project of mine for many decades. Published a bunch of articles around it. Haven't gotten back there in too many years. And probably need to go back because we've built up this foundation and check in with them after a bunch of years to see how they're doing. So that's my three projects: rural, grassroots, workers' politics, and county government.